loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot, Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns, he shoots. Yes! With 1 second remaining.
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Pick and Pod. We've taken a little bit of a break for the winter holidays, but we are back with a bang in the big 2026. I'm Tom Stisto, joined alongside by Gabby Price and Ethan Walks. And before we get into today's show, how was everyone's breaks? And are we excited to go back to school on Monday? Gabby, we'll start with you.
Ooh, you know, saying, am I ready to go back to school on Monday when it's Friday? I feel like it's felt so far away for so long, like through this break, that being like, we're going back to school Monday feels crazy, which I actually don't have class Monday. I actually don't have class until Tuesday. So I got another day maybe just to like chill out a little bit. But yeah, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to see everyone, get back in the stew. Obviously, luckily we can do these on Zoom, but it's just not quite the same. So yeah, it's going to be a great year. 26, big year for me. This is my last semester, which is, I don't like thinking about it, but reality is reality. So I'm going to soak in every day, honestly, is what I can say. But I'll be very excited to get back.
Ethan?
Yeah, I'm excited to head back to Fordham, and looking forward to getting back and hopefully continuing my momentum from the previous semester. This will be my second semester at Fordham period and at FUV. So I'm hoping to continue to get opportunities and continue to strive in my role as I was a transfer last semester. So sort of getting back into the swing of things and see what this semester has to bring.
Yeah, that's great. I feel like the break was just long enough for me to get bored at home and, you know, a little bit excited to go back and to move back to campus. And speaking of moving, we're going to talk the NBA trade deadline. We're just under a month away. February 5th is the official date for the trade deadline. But I feel like at this point in the season, most teams sort of know where their team is at, whether they're contending, maybe they're a couple pieces away, or maybe they're, you know, selling it and trying to get one of those top picks in the NBA draft lottery. But it appears that the first domino has fallen. Trae Young to the Wizards, a bit of a sad end to Trae Young's time with the Hawks. He obviously led them to a very successful playoff run in 2021, where he averaged over 29 points and 9 assists during that Eastern Conference Finals run. But then over the past year and a half, his flaws in his game, particularly his defensive woes, you know, I think has really cost him a place with the Hawks. And now he's being shipped off to the Wizards for some pretty meaningless chips, CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert. But Gabby, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on this trade? It seems a little bit odd to me. Does this make sense for either Atlanta or Wizards? And is there a clear winner?
I don't know if there's a clear winner here. I will say I do agree with you. It feels a little bit anticlimactic regarding like his career in Atlanta. Obviously, he's been there for a bunch of years now and was super successful, that it like mid-season just this happening. It maybe it's not unsurprising, but it's a little bit surprising. What I will say, like from a Knicks fan perspective, him leaving the Hawks, like, you know what, like he's had our number for maybe too long now. So with the Wizards, maybe more manageable for other teams like the Knicks. But yeah, I honestly, if you're trying to think of a winner here, it feels equal in some sense, where both teams are trying to refine an identity. And so maybe for the Wizards, having a veteran player like this who has had experiences being successful, even if he hasn't been at that same level in the past couple of years. That's a potential win for them on this young team that they're trying to build for the future. So maybe there's a slight edge to the Wizards in that sense, who've been a little lackluster. But yeah, very interesting. First domino has fallen, and I don't, and not the first one that I would have expected, just given the rest of the trade rumors about Giannis and AD and everything that has been going on. But Trae Young to the Wizards, we'll see.
Yeah, you mentioned Trae Young sort of terrorizing the Knicks for several seasons. And there I think there were some rumors that he'd go to Brooklyn and really just up that hate New York energy. But yeah, just a little bit strange. Ethan, what'd you see in this trade? Do you like the move on either side?
Yeah, I think everyone knew it was coming because he made himself clear that he wanted to be with the Wizards pretty early in this whole process, from what I've seen on social media. But I will say, I think honestly, Atlanta kind of won the deal. I'm just gonna play devil's advocate here, or take the other side. Just because I think they knew their franchise players, Jalen Johnson, and Trae Young was a real liability on the defensive side of the floor. And I think, I mean, CJ McCollum's no scrub, and Corey Kispert's a good young player. And I think they definitely, I would have liked to see some draft capital involved in the deal. But I think overall, I would say, I mean, Atlanta knows they already tried out with Trae Young being on their team for years, and yes, they made the Eastern Conference Finals, but they don't. But ever since then, they don't seem to be going over the top. And taking that next step. Now for Washington, they get a proven star, that proven all-star, that can really help resurrect Trae Young's career and the team as a whole. And I think it's a win-win for both teams, but if I had to give the edge, I would give it to Atlanta.
I think that's fair. Obviously, Atlanta, I think, would have wanted to get some draft capital back. And I think if you move Trae Young even a season ago, I think you do get some significant picks back. But I think there just wasn't that much of a market for an undersized guard who's really pretty inefficient at scoring and is a liability on the defensive side of the ball. And I just think that there weren't that many teams that were, that piece away. Obviously, he's got a pretty large player option for next season. I believe it's $49 million. But is this the first domino to fall in this trade deadline? One of the there are a couple of names sort of circling around. The first one was Anthony Davis, and just a couple hours before we recorded this, it was discovered he's got some broken ligaments in his left hand, so he looks like he's going to be out for the trade, at least until past the trade deadline, so Dallas won't be able to move him. Ethan, do you see anyone else being, moved? There's rumors that Giannis might
Yeah.
be able to be available on the trade block. Ja Morant is being shopped around by the Grizzlies. Do you see any of these major names being moved?
I really don't. I mean, Giannis has made it clear that he wants to stay with the Bucks for the rest of his career. And as far as Ja Morant, I just feel like he's a head case, and no one really wants. I feel like teams that are in the playoffs already have established guards, and they don't need, because he's a starter level guard, as we know. And I feel like him sort of being available, I just don't think Memphis will get the draft capital that they want, or the players in return. for him until he proves that he can stay healthy, number one, and produce at a high level.
Gabby, do you see any superstar or big name getting shopped?
I think it's tough. I kind of agree with Ethan a little bit here. I'll start with Giannis. I think it's going to be tough for the Bucks to move away from Giannis. Obviously, they like him. He has then come out after all the talk over the summer and that he wanted to leave Milwaukee. And now he says that he wants to be here for the rest of his career. And if that's true, then I think the Bucks should make that happen. Don't let Giannis leave. He's obviously one of the best players in the league. And I think there's definitely more of a opportunity for them to build around him to make their team better. Because I mean, they're not horrible right now. They've been having some decent wins. Obviously, it's not super consistent, but I think that's more likely that they will want to build around Giannis rather than give him away. Maybe contrary to belief of a couple weeks ago, but and then regarding Ja Morant, I don't know, maybe he's more likely than Giannis, just given exactly like what I just said, like Giannis wants to now stay in Milwaukee, and I don't think the Bucks will get rid of him now that he has come out and said that. But also really, again, like what Ethan said, who really wants him that badly? I think it would ha definitely have to be something more organizational, not necessarily, or maybe if John Morant really demands a trade out of Memphis, but it that might be more likely. But yeah, and who knows? Maybe Anthony Davis could have been the most likely one, but now that he's injured, we'll never know.
I do want to
Yeah.
add, oh,
Go ahead.
sorry, I just want to add one thing with the Giannis talk. Let's say hypothetically that a Giannis trade happens. Let's say for argument's sake, the Knicks get him. The amount of young assets that they have, and I mean, they don't really have many draft picks after the Mikal Bridges trade for five first rounders. But if you're looking at probably Towns going and Anunoby going and McBride and all these young guys. And I don't think the Knicks feel comfortable getting rid of all those key role players. Josh Hart might be in the deal for just for him. They want to keep the nucleus together. The role players, they seem to be getting along very well and gaining the chemistry needed in order to make a deep run, so I don't think they would just offload all their talent for him.
Yeah, I think Anthony Davis getting injured, I think really just tanked the trade market. There's unfortunately just not that many players that are really available that teams actually want. Like Ja Morant might be available, but you know, with all the off the court stuff and he's got a bit of an injury history, like there's just not that many teams, especially with the lack of return that Atlanta got for Trae Young. I just can't see the Grizzlies being particularly, you know, interested in a deal for Ja Morant. But you mentioned that the Knicks potentially trying to get Giannis, and I think, like you mentioned, they after the Mikal Bridges trade, they just don't have enough draft capital to compete. And I think Giannis would have to ask specifically, like Trae Young did, to go to the Knicks. And I think Giannis, you know, I believe this week said that he would never formally ask the Bucks organization for a trade. So I just don't see a vision for that happening. But it does raise an important question on the Knicks side of things. What do they need? And I want to talk about their most recent loss to the Pistons, a real blowout, 121 to 90. The Pistons really have just been the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference this year. And I've got a question, and we'll start with you, Ethan. Is this result a worrisome sign for n the Knicks' playoff hopes and their ability to make it to the finals when it finally seemed like with a couple lucky breaks, this was going to be their year?
Yeah, I would say no. Like, it's one regular season game, and I wouldn't be. Now, is it unfortunate they lost by 31? Sure. I mean, it's definitely raising some eyebrows, but I would say It's a long season. It's one game. It's not like it's the playoffs yet. Mike Brown's their new head coach is still trying to figure out what he has in the group, figuring out rotations and all of that. And am I concerned about the loss? Yes. But am I hitting the panic button? No. We're not even halfway through the season, and I think there's a bit of overreaction going on. They obviously won the previous game, so I think there's certainly a little bit of concern, but I think Detroit's gonna fall off eventually. They'll probably make the playoffs, but I just don't see them tearing it up like the Thunder did the first 22 games or so.
Gabby, what do you see in this Knicks team? Do they need to, add a piece to really establish them as, one of the top two teams in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's kind of piggybacking off of Ethan's response here. I do agree. I think this loss, this one of four in a row that happened, I think it was actually not necessarily good. Obviously, I don't like when the Knicks lose. I prefer when they win and show off their strengths. But I think it did highlight a key part of this team that they do need to improve. And that's, if not just the effort, everyone online was like, they look like they don't even want to be here, which, A, if that's a concern. But also, they need to be better on the defensive side of the court, where you have your shooter in Jalen Brunson, you have Kat and OG, who can have really great offensive nights, and OG we know is a great defensive player as well. But sometimes it's my problem with Kat, where he's like 6'4", 6'5", wherever he is, and he acts like he's one of the smallest players on the court. It like baffles me sometimes that, like, you are one of the biggest people on this court and you can't drive to the basket. So I'm not saying that I don't think he's a good piece on this team. I think the Knicks should keep him at least for now for the season. But I do think there are places that you can get another big. Mitchell Robinson is in and out depending on the game. Josh Hart obviously has been out with injury, which has maybe shown the past couple losses. But I think there is opportunity to answer your question, Thomas, for the Knicks to get maybe another defensive player that when they are getting into these sticky situations, if they, if they had a 16-point lead and let the other team come back, or if they're down by 16, they can get people into the court, into the game, who are going to hold it down a little bit more on the defensive end, and have, your Jalen Brunson, your Bridges, your even now Kolick a little bit, make some of those big game changer plays to get them back where they want to be for a win. So, in terms of a trade, I think that's where the Knicks should be looking rather than another guard, because I think the Knicks actually have pretty good guard depth. But I don't know. So that's what I hope to see from them. And I think the past couple losses, they went against the Clippers the other day, which was like somehow, honestly, it wasn't a very good game for very long. But they pulled it out. So I think for them, it's figuring out how they can stay consistent defensively with a lineup that seems to be changing with injuries and whatnot.
I 100% agree with your point that at sometimes like Karl-Anthony Towns like just plays small, like he's a big physical guy, and it just feels like it sometimes he just plays like a guard or just like a scared little boy
Sorry,
out there.
he's 7 foot. I severely underestimated there, but I wanted to
Yeah,
you're talking.
like that's what like Celtics fans will say about Karl-Anthony Towns, but it's legitimately true. Like sometimes it looks like he just is afraid to, be physical. And I think that it highlights sort of a larger problem with New York this season, where if things aren't going well on the offensive side, Karl-Anthony Towns only had 6 points. He's sort of just a non-factor throughout the game because he just doesn't have that same defensive intensity that we've typically associated with Knicks teams in the past. I remember the playoff run, or the playoff series, a couple of years ago against the 76ers. Like at some points, the shots weren't falling, but they just played so physically on defense and just played so hard that it really didn't matter. And I feel like New York has gotten away from that a little bit. They've tried to be a little bit more polished, but I think they need to stick to New York basketball. But switching over to Brooklyn here, it's a much different story in terms of their season. They currently have the fifth best odds at the number one pick. It's a really top four loaded draft, so they're going to look to improve those odds. Where's this Nets team at? Is Michael Porter Jr. sort of their main offensive threat? Is he on the trade block? Ethan, we'll start with you. Where's this Brooklyn team at, and what would you like to see from them during the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think Brooklyn's at a spot where they're obviously evaluating their young players. I would try and see. I'm kind of on the fence with the Michael Porter Jr. whether to trade him or not. I understand why you would trade him because his value is at an all-time high, but sooner or later you need to start trying to build around someone like the Wizards, who have now Trae Young. They're going to build around him. I think Michael Porter Jr. is young enough where you can start building around him as a cornerstone, because I feel like they just have a bunch of draft picks and not per se anything. They just seem like a mess, to be honest. And I'm not expecting them. Like, no one said they're going to make the playoffs unless you're a delusional Nets fan. But I think they're in a tough situation because all the stars are going to, if people had a choice between Brooklyn and New York and the Knicks, I should say, they're picking the Knicks, and I feel like they don't have that much leverage. The coach hasn't been very good, but sooner or later, I would say, get rid of the coach and try and figure out who's going to get the best out of everyone on the roster. They're just in shambles right now, and even their last game against the Magic, they came oh so close, but I think some of the they don't really have any veterans on that team. And a bunch of young guys, which is good, but they need a voice in that locker room, and it feels like they don't have anyone to really lean on to help the group get to the next level and learn how to win and not come close and allow a bank shot to beat them.
I think that's a really, really good point about when you're rebuilding, you eventually at some point have to build around someone. And the question is for this organization, is Michael Porter Jr. that guy? Obviously, he's a score first, score second, score third, pass fourth type of guy. And the question is that what you want to be sort of your foundation piece in a Brooklyn team that desperately needs some sort of momentum going for this organization? Gabby, what do you see from this Brooklyn team, and should they sell Michael Porter Jr.?
I mean, I would say right now, why would you? Because he's having a great season. You need someone to build around. And if he isn't your guy, maybe down the line, he is for right now. So I don't really, I get it. You would get a lot back for him. But you had five first draft picks last year, and some of those guys are still developing. It's like whatever, some of those young guys are still in the process, but overall they really haven't really hit. Those guys that they drafted have not done, an over the top job this season. So just getting more first draft, it's like, all right, until we can see that who you're drafting is making an immediate impact on the court, don't give away your best guy right now if you need to build around this team. And I think they can. they have some momentum with him. It just they need more, and some of it is just developing those young guys who can be really good maybe in a couple years, but it's gonna take that time, and so it's unfortunate that they have to rely so heavily on their veterans, but I think Ethan's right. They're kind of in a tough spot, and surprise, the Nets are a mess. But yeah, I think they're kind of in the spot where they have their guy, at least for right now. Develop your young players, draft well the next couple of years, and they might be able to get themselves back into at least playoff contender spot, maybe if they don't make a deep run. But it also, I mean, I'm not a Nets fan, but I think Nets fans would hate to see Michael Porter Jr. leave just to kind of be in a similar spot that they were last year, the year before.
Yeah, I do think it's a bit of an unfortunate position for this Nets team, because they're still several years away, and they're currently experiencing the prime of, their number one scorer. So it's just a question of how you build around those pieces. They really haven't had that much success hitting on those draft picks, like you mentioned, Gabby. But before we wrap up today's episodes, with it being the new year, with it being 2026, we're gonna do some resolutions for both New York teams, for the Knicks and the Nets. Ethan, we'll start with you. What is your New Year's resolutions for the Knicks and the Nets? What do these teams want?
I think for the Knicks, it's pretty simple. They need to figure out their defensive identity, because you could score all the points in the world, but if you can't stop the opponent, it likely won't matter. Yes, early in the season, they've been getting away with scoring 130 plus points and winning the games, which is fine. But I feel like now, them losing, struggling a bit right now, I think it would help them as a group to sort of come together and understand that this is unacceptable and it can't be tolerated, and get it done, get your problems fixed now, so then later in the season, when we hit May and head towards the playoffs, you have an identity, something that you've been working on. Because sure, it could be easy for them to just win, let's say, 55 games and make the playoffs. But if you don't have any idea, if you can't figure out the defensive identity, then I don't see how they're probably not going to make it that far in the playoffs. For the Nets, I would say they need to do a better job with building, or first of all, I would say get rid of the coach. Just plain and simple, get rid of the coach. Jordy Fernandez is not the answer for this team. I'm not ex like they don't need to win 40, 50 games. I'm not saying anywhere close to that, but you need to find some sort of stable identity with the group, because yes, they're improving, but it just feels like they're losing every game and just ending up with top five pick, which is fine, but you need to be able to at least make the play-in to show that you're improving in some sense. And right now, he hasn't shown anything, from what I can see, that would prove to me differently than what I feel right now.
Gabby, what
Yeah,
are
I
your
can.
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say I'll jump in Nets, or I'll start with the Nets. I think similar. I think stability is a great one, Ethan. I'm gonna stay on that track too. But I think the Nets, their New Year's resolution should be stay positive. You know, you have good assets on this team. You know, it your results aren't awesome, and that's apparent, you know, to everyone in the league. But you have good pieces on this team that, like we were just saying, you can build around. You have Igor Denim, another great player for the Nets. I think stay positive. This is a tough time, but I think they have pieces to be successful. They just have to figure out how to put them all together. And right now, it's the puzzle's a mess. And I think if you start getting some of those pieces together, you might have a good encore product. For the Knicks, I'm gonna say resiliency should be their New Year's resolution, because for them, they have all the pieces and they have most of the pieces in place. They are a decent defensive team when they're playing their best. They just need to do that consistently, and when they are down by 15 points, which happens in an NBA, it happens to any team, they need to be able to find ways to get back from that. That doesn't only rely, as I think we mentioned earlier in the episode, that doesn't only rely on the offense. And I think a lot of that comes from just plain resiliency, wanting it more. And if they do that, I think they can find themselves in a position to win the Eastern Conference Final, if not, further than that.
I would say for the Knicks, I think it's got you got to be aggressive, and I would say that it's make the finals. This is your year. The Celtics are having a bit of a down year with Tatum out. The only team really standing in your way, I would say, are the Pistons. You really, sold the bag, so to speak, against them, just a couple of days ago. But now is your chance. You got to figure things out. Just shoot for the stars, and then for the Nets, I would just say show some fight. You don't have to win games. You just have to be competitive. And I think Brooklyn is entering dangerous territory of the New York Jets, where, are players starting to doubt whether they should end up signing for the Nets? Stephen A. Smith is telling quarterbacks not to sign for the Jets because they are a disaster of the organization. And Nets, they might be in a similar vein where, or do careers go to die in Brooklyn? That is the question. And on that very, very cheery note for Nets fans, our episode is coming to an end. For Ethan Walks and Gabby Price, I've been Thomas Tisdale. Thank you so much for joining us on this brand new episode in the new year of Pick and Pod. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.